You're listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Beauvais of Calvary Anaheim. To find out more, go to calvaryanaheim.org. And now, here's Pastor James.
So we finished up 1 Samuel, and we're going into a season of some special messages. Tonight, we're going to start really talking about what we want to emphasize and focus on as a church. And so tonight's message really has to do with something that God put on my heart for what would define us as a church and what has really defined the Calvary Chapel movement from its beginnings in Costa Mesa with Pastor Chuck and somebody else named Lonnie Frisbee. And so I want to bring that out tonight, our beginnings a little bit, and where we want to continue, because it really is easy to slip away from it or to let the pendulum swing too far one way or the other, and we want to be a church that's balanced. And so the title of tonight's message is Bread and Water. Bread and Water. You see, God created aspects of the physical as an analogy to help us understand the spiritual. For example, God is triune, and He created us similarly, body, soul, and spirit. And each aspect of our being has needs. Our body needs a certain climate. If it gets too hot, we'll burn up, right? If it gets too cold, we'll freeze. We need air to breathe. We need that desperately, very quickly, and very frequently. We need food to eat, and we need water for our body to grow, to flourish, to thrive, and stay alive. Our soul has mental and emotional needs to be healthy. It's a big buzzword nowadays, right? Mental wellness, emotional stability. Well, we also have a spirit, and our spirit has a need for a meaningful relationship with God. He has given us a spirit to enable us to have that meaningful relationship. In fact, our body and soul aid in that purpose as well. But the spirit is the primary. See, before we become Christians, right, we're body, soul, and spirit, and we tend to let the body rule, the body's drives, the body's cravings, the flesh, psychological needs and desires rule. And then as we get saved, we are born again. We become new creatures. And that gets flipped, and our spirit is then on top. And it's the spiritual things that matter. And it's God first. And then there's our soul, and then our body comes in last place. Because we know that this body will not continue. It will die, and then we will go on to get a new body. Praise the Lord. And so our spirit needs meaningful relationship with God. You've heard it described as we each are created with a God-shaped hole inside of us. And only God can fill that hole. And so we're not to try to fill that hole with other things. So God has built within us our bodily drives to help us understand our physical needs and seek to meet them. I'm so glad that He created me to get hungry, or else I would never eat, and that would be the end. So He created those things very practically, but He also created them to serve as an analogy to help us understand the magnitude of our spiritual need for Him, our need to have a deep, intimate, and meaningful relationship with Him. And that's what we want to look at in the scriptures tonight, the bread and the water. Bread and water. So first, bread. We need and crave food. We just celebrated Thanksgiving. I remember when I was younger, I used to starve myself until that big fake Thanksgiving meal, you know, so that you can just put down even more. Now I can't wait that long to eat. But we need food. We crave food. The children of Israel, you might remember, were 6 weeks in the wilderness, and they had run out of food. And they were hungry, and their kids were hungry, and their animals were hungry. Everybody was hungry. And so they became hangry. And they got real irritated with Moses and with the Lord. Now, God did this on purpose. You see, remember we talked about, hey, we want to take a look at the physical, but always ask ourselves, well, what's the spiritual application? What does God want us to learn from the physical spiritually? And what he was doing with them is he was purposely putting them in this situation so that they would look to him for provision, that he would be their heavenly father, their provider and their protector. And they would display faith and trust in him. And so as they became hungry in the wilderness, God was more than happy and more than excited to provide for them in a miraculous way. And so take a look at Exodus chapter 16 with me. In Exodus chapter 16, we get a description of God's provision through the manna that came from heaven. We're also going to be in Exodus chapter 17, which is the provision of the water from the rock. And then we're going to be in John chapter 6. Get it? Exodus 16, John 6. John 6 is a description of Jesus being the manna from heaven. And then we're going to be in John 7. Exodus 17, water from a rock. John 7. It's where Jesus speaks of, if anyone's thirsty, let them come unto me, and I will give them something to drink. Okay? So those are going to be the scriptures we're going to be focusing on. Exodus 16, the manna. John 6, Jesus, the bread from heaven. Exodus 17, the water from the rock. John 7, Jesus talking about that provision of water, which is the Holy Spirit. So Exodus 16, verse 4, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, remember this is in response to their hunger, their complaining, they're even beginning to accuse God of being malicious towards them. And so the Lord says, said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day, that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And this is exactly what God did for them. Every single day, bread would come down from heaven, this wafer, and they would go out and they would collect what they needed for that day, and it would only last that day. Except for at the end of the week, before the Sabbath day, they would collect enough for 2 days, and the next day it was still good. But if they tried to do that earlier in the week, they would wake up the second day, and it would be bad. So you had to go out, you had to collect that manna, that provision from the Lord that came from heaven every single day. Now, spiritually, what is this bread? What is this bread spiritually? The Bible tells us very clearly what this bread represents, what it is emblematic of. And we find this, first of all, in Matthew 4, 3. Matthew 4, 3 says, now when the tempter came to him, that is, the devil came to Jesus when Jesus was fasting out in the wilderness, and he became very hungry because he hadn't eaten any food in 40 days. And so the devil comes and says, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So spiritually, this bread from heaven is the word of God. And just as man is physically sustained by food, he is spiritually sustained by the Word of God, the Bible. We need the Word of God to stay alive as Christians, or else we will wither away and die. And I've seen it again and again and again. when people slip away from being in the Word, from being in the Scriptures, from having a walk with the Lord, when they stop eating, then they diminish spiritually. And before you know it, well, the marriage is falling apart. The family is falling apart. What happened? When was the last time you read the Word and read it in faith? And so if that's you tonight, if you've been starving yourself, the answer is, well, start eating again. We don't want to starve ourselves spiritually, friends. We need the Word of God. It is our sustenance. It is what keeps us alive spiritually. And so stay in the Word, friends. All of us need to be in the Word and have our own personal time with the Lord. Now, not only does the Word sustain us, but it also allows us to grow and to mature, to forward motion, progress. 1 Peter 2, verse 1. 1 Peter 2, 1 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the Word. Why? That you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. And so we need the pure milk of the Word, just like little babies need their baby formula and their mommy's milk in order to grow and to develop and to mature. Now, just like with babies, we don't want to stay babies, right? So the little babies, they start with milk, but then they graduate into solid food. And that's a proud moment for a parent. Yay! You're eating solid food, you know? And so it is with the Lord. As we would graduate from the milk to solid food. So what is solid food? Well, the Bible teaches us. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. It says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And so in the physical, our senses are trained by use. We practice something and we become skilled at that thing. Like if you have a hobby, let's say you like to knit. Some of the ladies in our fellowship like to get together and knit. If I tried to knit right now, it would be pretty funny. And I don't have, you know, that muscle memory for that task. So everybody would laugh at me and, you know, see how slow I went. And it would take me a year to make a little cap or something. Because I'm unskilled in that, my senses are not trained to do that. And so it is with the Word of God. If we're reading the Word, we're taking in the milk, but we're never putting it into practice, then we will be unskilled in the use of the Scriptures. And that's why it's so important that we not just be readers of the Word or hearers of the Word, but we be doers of the Word, so that we may grow and mature and graduate from milk to solid food and become adults in Christ. And so we mature and improve through putting the Word of God into practice and using our spiritual gifts that God's given us, putting those things to use. Now, Calvary Chapel, I just love hearing the stories of how Calvary Chapel got started over there in Costa Mesa or Santa Ana. And, you know, Chuck, he would teach a lot of topical messages early in his time as a pastor, but then he began to switch over to expositional teaching. And he went, you know, book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and he found that his people, the people in his congregation, as they were well-fed sheep, they would grow and mature, and then their gifts would naturally be an outflow from that. And so there's always been this emphasis in Calvary Chapel and in the Calvary Chapel movements in teaching the Word of God and teaching the whole counsel of God, not skipping anything, but just going through. We want to continue that as Calvary Chapel Anaheim. Amen? We stick to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, preach the Word. The Word, that's what I'm supposed to preach, and you guys can hold me accountable to that. So it says, preach the Word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they, people, will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables, made-up stories. Verse 5, it says, but be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. And so my ministry as a pastor is to preach the Word of God. That's my primary function as a pastor. I need to study the Word, and I need to preach the Word of God. And that's what we're about at Calvary Chapel Anaheim. And we want to be a church that reads the Word individually and stays focused on the Word as a congregation, as a congregation. And it's one of the Christian disciplines. It's one of those things my dad used to give the analogy that, you know, sometimes it's hard to start. You don't feel like it. Boy, the devil really doesn't want you to do it because he doesn't want you to grow and mature or be sustained in the Word. And so it's like that hose in the summertime that's got water in it and the sun's beating on it and it's all warm in the hose. And, you know, I don't know if anybody still drinks from a hose nowadays, but it's still a good analogy. I remember when I was a kid, I did it all the time. And, you know, turn on the hose, and it's all warm, you know, at first, not refreshing. But then as you wait a little while, as you just turn it on, let the water flow, it'll refresh if you wait a while, and it's so enjoyable. And so it is with Bible reading, with prayer time, same thing. It's hard to get started. At first, it could be a little tedious, but then, oh, the joy as you hear God speak. And the questions that you have are being answered, and the scripture pops out at you and comes alive, and you relate it to your life, and you're having relationship with Jesus through your Bible reading, and it's fresh, and it's awesome, and it's a joy. And if you miss a day, you feel it. You go, oh man, I missed a day. And you're not beating yourself legalistically, but you actually miss Jesus. And so you want to get back in, because you miss your time with the Lord. And that brings us to the next point here, which is the bread isn't just the Word of God, but as I've mentioned, it's about relationship with Jesus. In fact, the Bible calls the Word Jesus himself. So let's take a look at that. If the manna is the Word, and the Bible says that Jesus is the Word, then Jesus is the bread from heaven. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so if the manna from heaven is the Word and Jesus is the Word, then Jesus is the manna from heaven. He's the spiritual fulfillment of this physical provision that we read about in the Old Testament. He's the bread from heaven. I love these scriptures, especially at Christmas time when we talk about Jesus becoming flesh and dwelling among us. God became a man, incarnation, and dwelt among us. And we remember that Bethlehem is literally means, it means house of bread, house of bread. Regarding the Messiah, regarding Jesus, Hebrews 10:7 says, "Then I said, behold, I have come," this is Jesus speaking, "in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God." And so the Old Testament points towards Jesus and towards the cross. They were looking forward to his coming. That's why there's all these prophecies about his first coming. And then in New Testament times, we are looking back. We're remembering Jesus and the cross, what Jesus did for us. And then, of course, we're looking forward to his return as well. And so as we look at the Old Testament stories, we see that they all relate to Jesus Christ in some way. So this bread from heaven, Jesus Christ. Now, in John chapter 6, and you guys can turn there, John chapter 6, the people have come to hear him speak. There's a large congregation of people. 5,000 men are there, not including women and children, and they're hungry. And the disciples say, send them away so they can go get something to eat. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And so there's the loaves and the fishes, and Jesus takes them and he begins to hand them out and he multiplies the food. And all the people eat and they're filled. And they're so excited about this. They're like, oh man, we ate for free. Because Jesus did this incredible miracle and multiplied the food. I'm going to follow this guy around wherever I go. I'll never have to work again. Yes! This is going to be awesome. Where did he go? Where did Jesus go? And so they're all going around looking for Jesus. And they're remembering back their ancestors in the wilderness, how they lived for 40 years simply by going out and gathering the food that came from heaven. Hey, do that again, Lord, but we do like loaves and fish. And so they're looking for him. And they finally find him. And they're kind of trying to get him to do more miracles like this and provide for them. And he says, hey, don't labor for the food that perishes, but that which endures unto everlasting life. And then he says in John 6:48, go ahead and look at verse 48. We're in John 6, verse 48. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Verse 52, the Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us flesh to eat? Oh man, we're going to be cannibals now? This is disgusting. Here, have a bite. Rawr. Have a finger. And they're going, this is kind of weird and gross, and what's he talking about? Verse 53, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat my flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So Jesus is telling them, you got to eat me and you got to drink my blood if you want to live forever.
You've been listening to Word and Spirit with Pastor James Bove of Calvary Anaheim in Anaheim, California. If you're in the area, we'd love for you to visit. Check out calvaryanaheim.org for location, service times, and more. We'd love to hear from you. To let us know how God has touched your life through this program or to submit a prayer request, simply go to calvaryanaheim.org and scroll down to the Get in Touch form at the bottom of the homepage. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to listen again next time for another edition of Word and Spirit with Pastor James Bove. This program is a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Anaheim.